Greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The topic for this afternoon's message is the Christian Ambassador. The Christian Ambassador. And we will open your Bible to the passage that we have read just now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you'll find this title of today's message is what is recorded for us in God's holy word in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 20. The Bible tells us, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. So, Christian ambassador. As Christians, we are ambassador for Christ. And I'm sure this term ambassador is a very familiar term for all of us. We must have heard about this term, an ambassador. And this world, there are many ambassadors. And in Singapore, we send also ambassadors to different countries. Now, when you think of this word ambassador, it is really a very noble word. I mean, not anyone can be called to be an ambassador to represent, for example, our country, Singapore. And when you again think of this term, an ambassador, it is also a term of great dignity, right? A title that is possessed by someone who represents our country. And so this person got to have great dignity to represent our country, to speak well, and to be a good representative of a nation. And you know that when you mistreat or you scorn an ambassador, it is really an equivalent to scorning or mistreating the whole government, the whole nation. See? And so that carries the weight of being an ambassador. And sometimes you read in the newspaper, when countries are at odds with each other, what do? They actually literally send the ambassador home. Right? They send ambassador home. And to send ambassador home is really telling the other country that we are breaking our relationship with you. We do not want to have this good and cordial relationship. And so when you think of an ambassador, you think of someone who is noble, someone who carries with him the weight of and been ambassador of great dignity. And here you realize that as Christians, we are called an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador really bears two characteristics. Number one, he is a messenger. He is a messenger. And secondly, he is a representative. And that is an ambassador. Really, if you one day desire to be an ambassador, you are a messenger. See? And so an ambassador is a messenger that speaks wholly and fully for his government. And so if you are an ambassador, you do not speak your own words. You do not go to a country and speak your own whatever you believe in. You do not utter any of your own thoughts. An ambassador is a messenger that he will never make his own private, personal promise. He represents the country, he's a messenger, he speaks the words that for his country. And that's what he will do as an ambassador. He never gave his own promise. He speaks for his country. And that ambassador, remember, he is not only just a messenger, he is a representative. See? A representative where he is sent from his country into another country. A foreign land, a place where the culture, the traditions are different from his. See? And he represents his own country where he is in that alien place, and yet he is not there and he has no mandate to change the culture, the tradition of the land. See? But he represents his country, and he often will wear his own country costume, his own country's tradition, and he believes in, you see. And so when you think of an ambassador, you find that he carries the weight of ambassadorship not because of his own personal credential, but really because of being a representative of his own country, his own government, see. And that carries a lot of weight as an ambassador, you see. In my work in the polytechnic, sometimes ambassadors from different countries will come to visit us. And so Sometimes I'm called upon to be with them, to interact with them. And each time when the ambassador come, we give this person great accord. We prepare the whole place well to receive the ambassador. And when the ambassador comes, we address the ambassador as His Excellency. Right? Ambassador so-and-so. And that's how you call the ambassador, His Excellency. And that title and their call and the privilege, right, is given to this ambassador. See? And so when you think of ambassador in the world, in the human realm, you see such a privilege, such an honor, such a noble term, and such great dignity being accorded to them. See? And now we ask ourselves that this same term, this same understanding that we as Christians, and we are called by God in verse 20, that we are ambassadors for Christ. And so we should not take it just by reading it and then skimming off our mind, but really understand why does God also call us with such a high privilege, such a high honor, and give us such a noble calling to be His ambassadors. And if you and I understand that we are called ambassadors, ambassador for Christ, not ambassador for Singapore, alright? Ambassador for Singapore, if any one of us, or one day, if you become ambassador for Singapore, I think we'll all be very happy for you, because you represent Singapore, you are the messenger for Singapore, and you are posted to any country, you speak for Singapore. But what a great honor that we may not be an ambassador for Singapore, but we are ambassador for Christ. Look at verse 20, and just ponder and consider how gracious and how kind God is that we are called ambassadors for Christ. And so you and I also bear that title of being an ambassador. See? I do not call you, right? Your Excellency. Yeah? But you bear this title, ambassador, and you're ambassadors for Christ. See? And so we have this wonderful, high, noble, heavenly calling that God has given to all His children, that we are ambassadors for His kingdom. See? And remember, as an ambassador, you are a messenger. And that is the first point of my message today. You are God's messenger. Because you are ambassador for God, ambassador for Christ, you are the messenger for Christ. And so as a messenger for Christ, you do not speak your own words. You do not give your own opinions. You do not come and say, I represent Christ, and then I give my own promises. You are ambassador, you are messenger, you speak the message from God, and you give the message from God. And this is very important that we must understand. And then my second point is, an ambassador is also a representative. So you are a messenger, and secondly, you are a representative. And we are representing God in this foreign land on this earth. Remember, we are pilgrims and strangers. We are sent by God, and God put us on this earth, and this earth, we are put there in this foreign land, and this world, and this earth has its own values, has its own philosophies, has its own traditions, has its own culture. But remember, we are ambassadors. We are home is in heaven, and we do not follow the values, the philosophies of this world. Just that no ambassador, right, will go to any country and then try to change the culture. An ambassador will maintain his own culture. See? So often when you see an ambassador, he or she will dress the way his country will dress. Eat the food his country will eat. And so if you are an ambassador and represent Singapore, maybe you can still speak Singlish in that foreign land. I don't know. Maybe they allow that. But remember, ambassador, we are a representative. Our citizenship is in heaven, see? And heaven is our true home. And so, when we are on earth, we are God's representative, and this world is not our home, and we do not follow after the values, the culture of this world. See? And we represent God, and when you are a representative of God, remember, you have to think the way God thinks, you have to act the way God acts, and that is a true ambassador. See? And so that is the second point. And so today's message, remember two points. Right? Ambassador is a messenger, ambassador is a representative. And so the first point, ambassador is a messenger. Christians, we are ambassadors for Christ. And so we are messengers of Christ. We have a message to tell. And what message do we have to carry with us? What message has God given to us that we go to this land and we have to tell this message to others? And if you are careful in your reading of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, can you open your Bible back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and where we have read from verse 18 to verse 21. And there's one word that appears five times in these short five verses to give us a very clear indication that you know this is the message that God wants us to bring as His ambassadors. And what is that one word? The word is reconcile. Reconcile. Right? You see and you notice very carefully in verse 18 that, and all things are of God who had reconciled us to Himself. And then the last part of verse 18, He had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And then verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And then the last part of verse 19, again committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And then in verse 20, the last line of it, be ye reconciled to God. And so if you are careful and you see that we are ambassador and we are a messenger for God, and what message do we carry? And this is very clear to us from God's word. It is reconciliation. It is the message of reconciliation. We are to bring this message of God to mankind, to ever God has put us as His ambassador in whichever workplace, whichever school, whichever neighborhood, that this is a message that we bring, a message of reconciliation. It's a very important message that God wants us to carry, to bring as His ambassador. We do not speak our own words. We do not think that, oh, this is maybe not so suitable in this climate. This is not so suitable in our 21st century. Or maybe this is not applicable to my workplace because of this environment. No, no. Dearly beloved, we follow, and as ambassador, remember, we speak the message of God, and the message is a message of reconciliation. You see, Christians, do you know why God put us and still remain on this earth? I mean, this world that we live in is one of toil, sufferings, pain. We have sorrows, disappointment. God has saved us. We are fit for heaven. Surely, God would have easily now have taken all of us to heaven to enjoy the glory of heaven. And yet, the Lord still put us here on this earth and call us to be His ambassador and give to us this important message to tell. And this is the message of reconciliation. And that is the reason why God still put us on this earth. And we are here with this purpose to tell forth this message of reconciliation to a world that is not reconciled to God. Think of it. In heaven, there will be no more evangelism. Why? Because there's no more sin in heaven. No more sinners in heaven. All are saved. And so the work of this ministry of reconciliation, the work of evangelism, the work of telling the message of reconciliation has to be done now. You see? And who will God send? God will send His children, and we are all God's ambassadors to tell forth this message of reconciliation. And this ought to be an encouragement to us. This ought to remind us that, yes, I can toil on, I can labor on in this world. Yes, there are pain, there are sorrows. But God has put me here, and God has given me this message of reconciliation, and I must go and tell forth this message, because one day in heaven, there's no more need, no more reason to tell forth this message, because all in heaven will be reconciled to God. And so may the Lord remind us, and we ask ourselves this very important question. Ambassadors are messengers. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are God's messengers. And this ministry and this message is a message of reconciliation. And reconciliation is a word that we all understand. It's not something that is beyond us. Because we know that in the world there are cause of reconciliation. There are reconciliation organizations around in this world, and they try to resolve animosity, enmity, and disagreement between different parties, you see. And in business relationship, there are differences, disagreement, and you need reconciliation between different business partners. In friendships, there need to be reconciliation also. Sometimes friends, because of disagreement, they do not talk to each other. And then, even in spouses, there's also the need to be reconciled. And so, we understand reconciliation. See? We understand this term reconciliation well. See? And where relationships are alienated, relationships are affected, and they need to be restored rightly back together. See? And so this message, Christian ambassador bears forth and tells forth the message of reconciliation, it's not one just between man and man, human and human. Human and human, maybe a little bit of effort, with some give and take, oh, I think we all can do this job, and we can restore maybe both parties together. But this message of reconciliation, dearly beloved, the message that Christian ambassadors will go forth and tell this world is a reconciliation, really, not man and man, but God and man. See? God and man. See? God and man to be reconciled together. See? And this is really, if you think of it, it's very startling and very stunning that God and man can ever be reconciled together. Because when you think of God, you know that God has to be holy, perfect, pure, flawless. And that is God. And when you think of man, you know that you are a sinner, I am a sinner, we all know that. That we have broken the laws of God, we have violated God's law, and we all know that in our heart. And we know that we are the one who have turned our back against God. And so when you think of reconciliation between God and man, sometimes you ask yourself, is it possible? And from a human viewpoint and from a human standpoint, many will have said it is irreconcilable. It is something, maybe, are you talking something, this message, you are quite foolish to talk about this message. In this message of reconciliation between God and man, seems to be illogical. And so from human perspective, from many people in this world, and when they talk about this message, they hear about this message, it seems illogical, foolishness, irreconcilable, and it makes no sense. And really, even from Christian perspective, if we ask ourselves, does it make any sense for a God who was offended, a God who is perfect, and a God whose laws have been violated, a God who has been blasphemed by others, a God whose laws have been violated by people who willingly and people who regularly go against him, and yet this same God now desire to reconcile with all these violators of his law. Just to think of this message of reconciliation, that God himself would ever do such a thing, that he was the one who has been offended, he was the one who has been sinned against, and yet he is the one who now reached down to these sinners and these violators of his law and stretch out his hand and say, I want to be reconciled with you. And this is the message that God's people, ambassadors for Christ, we must go forth to tell. The message of reconciliation. The message is a true message. The message is an amazing message. The message is a divine message. A message that if it touch your heart, it will melt your heart. Because how can it be possible and yet God will do it? And I want to tell you and share to you from the Word of God that as God's ambassadors, ambassadors for Christ, we are His messengers, and this message is a message of reconciliation. And in this message, you must understand three things. Number one, God is the reconciler. God is the reconciler. It is the will of God to choose to reconcile with sinful mankind. See? Now, how do we know that? Open your Bible, and if you read the verse before that, in verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we are very familiar with verse 17. Let's read together verse 17. Ready, go. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yes, this is about salvation, about the new birth, about really regeneration, conversion. And then you look at verse 18 carefully, and it says, and all things are of God. What are the all things? The all things refer to verse 17, and all these things that God has done in saving a soul, in giving him new birth, in making him a new creature, they are all of God. God is the reconciler. God is the one who is the source of reconciliation. And exactly in verse 19, it says the same thing, that to wit means to know, W-I-T is to know what? What must we know? That God was in Christ. What did he do? God the reconciler, do what? He reconciling the world unto himself. Can you see this? That the message of reconciliation that ambassadors, you and I must tell, is the message that God is the reconciler. God is the one who chooses, who takes the initiative to come to sinful men to save them. You and I sometimes have arguments, disagreements with friends, right? Human and human, spouse and spouse. And when you have an argument with somebody or quarrel with somebody, what do you do? Right? If you say, we always say what? The offending party must say what? The offending party must come to me and say sorry to me. Maybe say sorry 7 times. And maybe even buy me a gift before I accept, and then I can be reconciled to the person. Right? We always say, the person, right? I am being offended, right? The offending party must come to me and say sorry. Right? For me, you must bring me a 10 bowl of soup. Maybe then I accept your right apology. But here, it's the reverse. God is the reconciler. See? God is the one that came forth. God is the one who initiated this process of reconciliation. And so our message of reconciliation, number one, is that God is the reconciler. See? Because in the relationship between God and man, there's only one guilty party. And that's man. It is man, you and I, that turn our back against God. It is you and I who have disobeyed the laws of God. It is you and I who have not loved God. It's you and I who will never turn our heart and lift our eyes to God. And we are the one who have offended God. And yet, God is a reconciler. The God of the Bible is a reconciling God. He took the initiative, he came to us, and he stretched out his hand to reach to us, to reconcile with us. In this world, there are many religions. Some picture the gods of the religion as very apathetic, very indifferent, very transcendent. You cannot know him, he's too far away. It's not personal. He will never speak to you. And that's their God. But the God of the Bible, the God that we know, we love, we trust, is not such a transcendent and unknown God, a petty, indifferent God. He's the reconciling God. He's a God who wants to be near us, close to us. He's the God who wants to bring us back unto himself. And some other religion picture God as a very hostile God. A God who is always angry. A God who is always vengeful. A God who is always ready to send forth his judgment on mankind. And a God who is such a hard taskmaster. A God who has no sympathy at all. And yet when you look at the God of the Bible, the true and living God, he's not such a God. He's a God of love, of compassion. He's a reconciling God. A God of mercy, of God of grace. And so, dearly beloved, the message of reconciliation that we're going to tell is that God is the reconciler. God is the Savior. That he is the one who is willing. He is the one who will come forth to save us. We are all very familiar with the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. In fact, these three parables all tell us the same message. In the parable of the lost sheep, just one sheep that's missing. 99 are saved. The shepherd will go into the wilderness, high up and down, go to all the dangerous places just to seek for the lost sheep. And the lost coin, the woman, because of that one lost coin, will search the whole house upside down just to look for the lost coin. In the parable of the lost son, the father will be there waiting for the prodigal son. It was a terrible son that he had, a son who ran away from him, who was selfish, self-centered, disobedient, and yet the father was waiting and waiting, and when the son came back, the father ran to the son, hugged the son, kissed the son, gave him a new robe, gave him a new shoe, a new ring, and gave him a fatted calf. And all these three parables tell us the same thing, that God is the reconciling God. God is the one who will go forth to search, to seek for us, who are lost, who are sinners, and who God Himself will come to want to embrace us, to bring us back unto Himself. You see, such a wonderful God, such a wonderful message. Ambassadors, we must tell forth this message. This is our motivation, that we can go forth and tell the world this message, that our God is a God who is a reconciler. You see. Now, secondly, in this message of reconciliation, that God is not only just the God of the reconciler, He is also, God is the forgiver. God is the reconciler. God is the forgiver. And that is the second point of our message of reconciliation. God is the forgiver. And you look back at your Bible and you see in verse 19. See? In verse 19, and what does it tell us? It says here, to wit, that's to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Listen here carefully. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. And it tells us that in this process of reconciliation, this message, God is the reconciler. He initiated, He loved us, He cared for us, and then God is the forgiver. He will not impute our sin unto us. Do you know that for reconciliation to take place between God and man, the issue is what? The issue is sin. And God has to do something to stop this issue of sin. God has to overlook our sin. God has to dismiss our sin. God has to erase the record of our sin in our lives. And the Bible tells us that the reconciling God is also the forgiving God. And He will reconcile us to Himself by forgiving our sin. He will not impute any of your sin onto you. You see. It's amazing when you think of this, you see, that God will treat you and I as though we have never sinned. God will treat you and I as though we are perfect, without sin. Nothing is imputed on us. Just to think of this thought, your past sins, your present sin, your future sin, God say, I will not impute it on you. I will treat you, you're all forgiven. You have never sinned at all. And then, reconciliation can take place. You know, if each day, you just commit three sins, just three sins a day. In 1 year, 365 days, you times three, average maybe 1,000 sins. 1 year, you have committed 1,000 sins. Now I'm 51 years old. I've already committed 51,000 sins. And if God willing, I can live up to 80 years old, I will have committed in my lifetime on this earth 80,000 sins. 80,000 sins. So young men, young ladies here, don't think that you have not committed any sin. There are many sins that we have committed. And to think of so many thousands of sins we have committed in a whole lifetime. And God say, I will not impute any of this sin on you. God say, I will erase the record of sin in your life. Amazing, amazing message. God the reconciler, God the forgiver, that God will ever do such a thing to us. You know, you and I sometimes don't see ourselves very sinful. Maybe we think those who are really sinful are those in prison. I have the privilege to serve in the prison ministry for the last 5 months. When at the prison, maybe the place is about one third of this size, about 50 of the prisoners. They will come in the hall, they will sit down, and then to share God's word with them, and to talk to them. And prisoners, you know, some people get worried, you know, talk to prisoners, will they harm me, will they kill me? I told my mother I'd go to prison. She said, were they going to kill me and beat me up? I said, don't worry. Any policemen around? No policemen around. You just sit down. Actually, they are just like you and I. I have prisoners who are called Matthew, who are called Peter. I have one that is called Amos also. I have one that is called Moses. And because he's called Moses, I talk to him. I say, why you call Moses? Oh, my family, they are Christian. My family are Christian. They are Christians. And then you end up in prison. Of course, it's very sad. But each one of them, it's just like you and I. I find that talking to them, they're no different than how I talk to you all in church. They know that they have sinned. They know they are weak. And they know that they struggle in their life. Just that they are in prison, and now we are not in prison. But if we are all open, we are the same. We are the same. We are sinners, and we all sin. And these prisoners, they can even tell me, they ask me, can you preach on Romans chapter 7? You know, Romans chapter 7 of the struggle of the soul, the good that I ought to do, I do not. And they ask me, can you preach that? Because that is the real struggle in their life they are going through now. And I ask you, do you have the same struggle here? You are not in prison. But actually, you and I have the same struggle just like them. The good that I ought to do, I do not. The evil that I should not do, I'm doing. And so when we all look at our life, we are honest with ourselves, we have so many sin. And God say, I will forgive all your sin. I will not impute any of your trespasses, your sin onto you. See? I will treat you as though you have no sin. Your sin is removed as far as the east is from the west. And that is that wonderful message of reconciliation. The wonderful message that God is the reconciler, God is the forgiver. You see? And when God say in his word that I will not impute any trespasses, God meant it, and God's promise will be certain. God is not like you and I, human. When we say to one another, I forgive you, right, for the wrong you have done. And then what happened 1 year later? We'll say to you back again, right? Not 1 year ago, you did this to me, right? And then we'll drag it out, and we'll hold that in our heart, that grudge is still in us. Because we are human, we are men. But God said, no. When God erased the record of sin, God said, no more sin. He is not guilty. God meant it. And that is the promise of God. All our sins are forgiven. God, the forgiver. And this message of reconciliation has a third point. God, the reconciler. God, the forgiver. God, the substitute. This is very important. And here we find in verse 21. God is the reconciler, God is the forgiver for us to be reconciled to Him. But to take place, God is also the substitute. See? And look at verse 21. Look at verse 21, and you understand this message of reconciliation. Therefore, He had made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now the message as Christian ambassador that we go for, we are a messenger, we tell forth this message, we must tell forth that God is the reconciler, that the act of reconciliation begins from God, He's the source of it, God is the forgiver, He will not impute, and He will erase all records of our sin, and in order for God to do that, God must also be the substitute. See? That God had made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Every single sin in this world that we commit has to be punished. Now we must all know that. The 80,000 sins that if I ever live up to 80 years old that I commit, every single of them has to be punished. And the punishment is either on the sinner himself or on a substitute. And And sin has to be punished. You and I cannot go away and think that God will close an eyes and forgive our sin. If He is a holy God, if He is a just God, then sin has to be punished. If today I am a judge of a high court, and there comes this murderer, a criminal that comes before me, he murdered 5 persons, and he said to me as a judge, "Judge, I'm very sorry for what I've done. I confess that I murdered these 5 people. And I acknowledge that I'm at fault." And this murderer comes and talks to me this way, "Judge, will you forgive all the sins, all the murders, all the crimes I've committed? I'm really sorry." If I have a judge say to him, "Of course I forgive you. I have compassion on you. I care for you. Now you can go free." What do you think of me as a judge? I will lose my job, right? The next day. You know that I'm not a fair and not a just judge. Every sin that we commit has to be punished. And God is a just God. And this message of reconciliation tells us that God, the reconciler, God, the forgiver, God also is the substitute for us. And then when you look carefully at verse 21, you find that the substitute has already come. "For He," God, "had made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Who is this substitute? Who is this person who knew no sin? None other than the very Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself, who came to this world to die for us, to become our substitute, to take away the punishment of our sins. God is a substitute. God, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, who has no sin, He came to this world and He lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. You ask me, why must Jesus live for 33 and a half years? Why can't Jesus just come down within 1 hour, go to the cross, die for us, be our substitute, and bear our sin, and that's good enough? Why must Jesus live for so long? And the answer is this: because you and I have violated and broken all of God's laws. And Jesus Christ has to fulfill all the laws for us, to live a perfect, obedient life, to fulfill all righteousness for us, in order that our sins can be forgiven. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has to live for 33 and a half years, fulfill every righteousness, every law for us, so that we who have broken all the laws of God, now our sins can be forgiven. He is the substitute for us. He is the eternal Son of God who has no sin. You can read that in the gospel account. Every enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ tried to tempt Him, make Him to sin, make Him to say the wrong words, do the wrong act, and they all failed. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, He is God Himself, and He knew no sins. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us in verse 19, that God was in Christ. You know this, God was in Christ. Jesus Christ, He is God Himself, the perfect Son of God. He is 100% God who came to this world, 100% man, and 100% God, and He is the one who knew no sin, and He gave His life for us. You may ask me another question. How is it possible for Jesus Christ as a substitute, when He died on the cross? That's 2,000 years ago. Today I live 2,000 years later. How is it possible for that death that happened 2,000 years ago, able to forgive my sins now that I live 2,000 years later, all my 80,000 sins, or my 51,000 sins? How is it possible? I mean, if today there is, let's say this is a box here and it's a bomb, let's say, some terrorists put a bomb here, and I'm the hero, I come and then grab this bomb and then put it on my body, and then it exploded on me and I die, and all of you are saved. So what I do? I save all of you, but I'm only, at this point in time, able to save you and only save people who are here. And the reason is this, that I'm a finite person. I'm a finite person. I exist here and now. And so whatever I do, if I can save you, I can only save here and now for this group of people. But why is it that Jesus Christ, when he died 2,000 years ago, he's able to forgive my sin today here 2,000 years later? Because the answer is Jesus Christ, he is infinite. He's an infinite person. He is God's Son and he's God himself. And God is infinite. God is from everlasting to everlasting. And because he's infinite, his power to save, to forgive is infinite. And so he can bear all the sins of the whole human race because he's an infinite person and he can forgive every of our sin even today. For that one death that he suffered, the infinite Son of God, he died for us, the substitute for us. And so when you understand this message of reconciliation, that God is the reconciler, God is the forgiver, God is the substitute, then this is really a message that we cannot keep quiet. This is a message that we are God's ambassador. We must tell this message. And you look carefully at verse 21 and you see how Jesus Christ as a substitute for us, who took away the punishment of our sin, who died for us. And what else did he do for us? In the last part of verse 21, it says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How wonderful now that we who have sinned, now our sins are taken away, and we who are the unrighteous one, who are the sinner, now we become the righteous one, the righteousness of God. And now God sees us as the righteous one. Oh, it is a wonderful, wonderful message of reconciliation. A wonderful message that God has given to human mankind. God the reconciler, God the forgiver, God the substitute. Ambassadors for Christ, this is our message to tell the world. This is our message to go and tell the world what God has done to save humans from their sin. Now I come to my second point. Ambassadors, we are the representative. How do you think this message ought to be told? This is a message, the message of reconciliation. The message is very clear to us. But in what attitude and how this message is going to be conveyed to sinners, to all mankind? And as God's representative, as ambassadors, we must think and act and say the way that God wants us to say. And how does God say it? It's very amazing. And you see that in verse 20. Verse 20, you read carefully, and that's how God comes to sinners and how God conveys that message to sinners. And how, as ambassadors, we must do the same like God as his representative. Let's read verse 20 together. Ready, go. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's sake, be ye reconciled to God. Can you see the word beseech? God coming to us with this message of reconciliation. And God say, God beseech this message. God come to sinners, and God, the word beseech means God beg. God pleaded with you. God urged you. God earnestly asked you, consider, come and be reconciled. And that's how God comes to human, sinful mankind with this message of reconciliation. And God say, I beseech you. I beg with you. I plead with you. Come and be reconciled. And as the Lord's ambassadors and Christ's ambassadors, we must do the same thing. You see? As though God did beseech you by us. Now by us, we are the ambassadors. So we must have the same heart like God. We must have the same heartbeat like God. We must go to our friends, unbelieving ones, and go with the same spirit like the Lord to plead with them, to tell them this message, oh, be ye reconciled to God. You ask me, God has done such a wonderful work of reconciliation already. God has been the initiator, the reconciler, the forgiver, the substitute. And yet why must God still come and beg and plead and urge that sinners be reconciled to him? And why must God do that? And he has no sin when he was not the offending party. And you and I must do the same like God, to plead, to earnestly ask, to urge those who have yet to believe, be ye reconciled to God. And the reason is this, that men love their sin. And exactly what the Bible says, men love darkness rather than light. Such a wonderful message of reconciliation from God. You and I would have thought that man would run to it, would believe the Lord Jesus Christ, would trust and believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and would say, I want to be reconciled to God. God, you have done everything for me. Please forgive my sin. Jesus Christ, you are my substitute. You are my Savior. You have taught that man would have done that. But man would not do that. Men will still love their sin. Men will still prefer to live in their darkness rather than come to the light of Jesus Christ. This is the hardness of the heart of men. Sinful men will rather not give up their sin to embrace Jesus to be their Savior. They will not come to the light. They will not want to repent of their sin. They will not want to give up their sins to seek forgiveness in Christ. They will not want to be reconciled to God. And therefore, our ministry of reconciliation is a heart ministry. It's a pleading ministry. It's a begging ministry. And that's exactly what God said. That's our ministry. And that's the heart of God. That we go to this hardened, sinful world, sinful man who would have seen the love, the grace of God, but yet they will reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet they will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, dearly beloved, we are God's representative. We are ambassadors. We have a message to tell, a message of reconciliation, the most glorious, wonderful message that God is a reconciler, God is a forgiver, God is a substitute. And this message, we must go forth and tell it with the same heartbeat like God, earnestly pleading for sinners, come, be reconciled to God. Do not harden in your sin anymore. Repent of your sin and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to God. There's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the wonderful good news. And you look at these few verses and you know that it is only in Christ that you can be saved. You see, and you see in verse 17 that if any man be in Christ, right? In Christ. And then in verse 18, it's the same, right? By Jesus Christ. Again, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ that we have our salvation. And then in verse 19, it says, God in Christ. And then in verse 20 is for Christ. This is the precious gospel message that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Savior, the Reconciler, the Forgiver, the Substitute for us. In Christ, for Christ, that we are saved. And yet, why would you not come to believe in Him? Why would you not want to repent of your sin and to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And God pleads, God begged, God earnestly urged, be ye reconciled to us. As ambassadors for Christ, we go forth with the same spirit. Christians, we do not judge and condemn others because we are in Christ. Christians, we do not think that we are smarter than others because we are saved in Christ. We go with the same heart like God, the same spirit like God, the same attitude as God. As God's representative, as ambassadors, we go to this world and we plead with men, be ye reconciled to God. It's going to be hard work. You're going to suffer reproaches. People will reject us, scorn at us. We will face a world of hardened sinners. But we will press on. Because this is the message of salvation. This is the only message that sinful men can be saved. If they are not saved, remember the consequences. The consequences is eternal suffering in the lake of fire. The consequences is that their sins are not forgiven. The consequences is that sin must be punished. And the wages of sin is death, eternal death. And so, if we bear in mind this consequence, we must go. We must have the heart like God. We must be ambassador. We must be God's representative. We must go forth and tell them and plead and ask that the Lord will save. Because now is the time. Now is the time to do it. Now is the harvest time. Now is the daytime. But when the night comes, we cannot work anymore. And I ask you, see, what are we doing? What are we doing as ambassadors? What have we been doing? Are we God's messengers? Are we God's representatives? You know, I was preparing this message, I thought of my mother, how the Lord has so wonderfully saved her. Last year she was baptized. But since I believed the Lord in 1976, for more than 30 years, most every day without stop, I pray the Lord will save her and my father. Pray for more than 30 years, continuously. You've got to pray, you've got to plead for God to have mercy. And a few years back, about 3-4 years back, when she was open to come to church every Sunday morning, the service, the Cantonese service at her church start at 7:30 in the morning. I said, I will be there to bring her to church so that she can hear God's word and let God's word save her, touch her heart. It is hard work. But this is ambassador task. And today, if God asks me, can you do it one more time for my father? I say, I will do it, Lord. For the sake of a soul, we will do it, Lord. Someone can be saved, someone can be reconciled to God, your own loved ones. Why won't we do it? Why won't you start praying every day now for your parents who are not saved for their salvation? Why don't you plead with God? That's what ambassador ought to do. Be reconciled to God. Why don't you do something to have the same heartbeat like God? To plead, to earnestly urge them to come to Christ. And this afternoon I know that sitting here may be some of you who have yet to believe Jesus. You're not reconciled to God yet. Your sins are still with you. God, the reconciler, has stretched out his hand, but you have refused him. You have turned your back. You have spurned the gospel message. And you say, next time, I'll think about that. But really, you think that you can manage your life better than God. Today, God say, be ye reconciled to me. God, the reconciler, comes to you. God say, I will forgive your sin. God say, I will become your substitute. Would you come? Would you come to trust and believe the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you be saved today? And the same heart like God, I will plead with you. Sitting here, I will plead with you that God has put you here today, not just without a purpose. That God has brought you here this afternoon, that God is stretching his hand and God wants to save you. Be ye reconciled to God. Come and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your heart, trust in him to be your Savior. And I plead with you, today, let it be the day that you are reconciled with God. Let it be the day today that your sins are forgiven. That Jesus Christ is your Savior. And for all of us who are Christian, as I conclude this message, you are an ambassador. I am an ambassador. We are not representing Singapore, but we are representing a greater place than Singapore. A heavenly home. We are representing God, and we have a message to tell. A message of reconciliation that we cannot keep quiet. What have you been doing? You have all the excuses not to come for evangelism. You have all the excuses not to serve in this area, not to talk to your friends. But will your excuse stand before God? If God say, are you my ambassador? If you are, will you do something? Would you go and tell this message of reconciliation? Will you be willing to tell others that God is the reconciler, God is the forgiver, God is the substitute? Will you be the representative of God with the same heartbeat like God to go forth and plead and earnestly urge all your friends and believing ones to believe the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe God called us to be ambassador, and this is a noble, a term of great dignity. So, beloved, let us not disgrace this calling of God. Let us take it seriously. Let us fulfill our task as ambassadors for Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy precious word. And we pray, Lord, have mercy upon those in our midst here, Lord, who have yet to believe in you. They are not reconciled to you. And we know, O Lord, that in their sin, they will die in their sin, Lord. And we plead and pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, will stir their heart, Lord, and will give them deep, true conviction, Lord, that they will be reconciled to Christ and back unto thee, Lord. We pray for our own very loved ones, close friends, and we think of them, O Lord, who have yet to believe in thee, heading for eternity in the lake of fire. O Lord, give us no peace, no rest, till we become your true ambassador to go forth with a message of reconciliation to them, to plead, Lord. And we plead and we pray, Lord, thou be merciful, Lord. Lord, we have heard thy word, Lord. We have heard thy calling, Lord. We know what you want us to do, Lord. And we pray, Lord, have mercy, that we have your grace and strength to fulfill your calling, to be your ambassador, Lord. And use us, Lord, even for one soul that can be saved on this earth, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.